fruit. The word produces fruit. And you just think about it. Jesus, the story of Jesus on the cross has produced millions of salvation. Millions. The word. Somebody preached the word and people get born again. They get born again all the time. So the word produces salvation when it's preached and received. And the Lord been showing me something. Teresa's teaching Mark 4. I'm going to get into one scripture maybe of that verse. Did you get that Hebrews 3:1-3? Put that up there. It says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, talking about Jesus, and it says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Everything right now that you see exists, our life, everything is upheld by the power of God's word. God said, let there be light. Light was. He hung the stars, the moon. Everything is upheld by his word, the power of God's word, what he spoke. I mean, he set salvation in motion, and it'll go on until Jesus comes back. I mean, all things are upheld by the word. The word is a powerful force, because the Bible says in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. And he was the word made flesh. Jesus was a manifestation of God. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, he of God. He was God revealed in the flesh, praise God. Sowers, how many knows that everybody is not sowers? Now, I'm not talking about money. I was sitting over there and I told Sandy, I said, you know now, giver, you're blessed, don't you? She's writing something. And she looked over and said, yeah, I believe it. Like that. And I said, if you take away prosperity, what we believe God for, you take it away, we would know it then. You know, Jesus, I was reading the Bible to Aiden. He is wanting to read the Bible last night. He spends the night with us. And so we turned the Bible over, and I told him, I said, look at here. I said, Jesus left us gifts. What is it, Papa? What does it say? He's wanting to know what. He likes gifts. You know, toys, gifts. I mean, he's a baby. And so he wants me to read the rest of it. He wants to know what the gifts are. And so I was turned over to Mark 16:17, and I said, well, hold on just a minute before I read these gifts to you, you know. And I said, God's biggest gift to us was Jesus, and he comes in our heart. Now, what am I doing? The power of God's word. I know the power somewhat of God's word. I don't know in depth the power. I don't know how it actually goes and works in its fullness. I don't know how the seed works in the ground when I put a seed in there, but I know it works because later on I see the fruit. I see the fruit of that natural seed. Well, the word is seed. It's seed. And it does what you see a natural garden do. I mean, somebody maybe can't explain the whole process of that seed. I just know that that ground is fertile. And that ground begins to try to rot that seed. Therefore, it starts breaking it down, and moisture gets into that seed in there, to the heart of that seed. And then that ground causes that seed to grow. You know, I ain't never seen okra grow upside down. No, it grows up. Trees grow up. They're growing up towards God. They're going up towards God. That's why they got to come out of the ground, because creation worships God. I'm talking about the world and everything. It worships God. It knows that God is its God. Birds know it. Animals know it. They know that. See why? Because of the power that God is generated in us and in this earth. The Bible says the earth groans and travails, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And one of the ways that we do that, she made it real clear and simple. Even at work, got the word on. Word going in, word going in, word going in. And feeding the spirit man, and that causes excitement. That is the fruit. The excitement is the fruit of the word. And then goes on and got to shut her down so they can get on out there and finish things up. And then went from whoop to whoop. You know, now that was just the presence of the Lord and everything, and how it feels when it's not manifest like that. Because the Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. See how that the power of that word, me knowing that God is with me in trouble, with me in troubled waters, with me in the good times, with me. And I'm like, Johnny, if God gives me nothing else in the natural, what he gave me 28 years ago, life, was enough. But I'm not going to just settle for that. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, occupy till I come. That means occupy don't mean just to sit there and do nothing. It means to go forward and produce. The word produces the fruit in us. That's why people are on different levels of faith. You can get people born again at the same time, and they can go to the same church, and they can be on different levels of faith. One of them will pay attention to the word. They will give heart to the word. They will embrace the word. They will go out and listen to that preaching in the daytime. And then when storms come, you'll see them, they won't falter away. But you'll see the ones that don't get into the word and don't really embrace the word or just mentally assent to the word, and then when the troubles comes, they begin to falter. Now that don't mean we're judging people when we see that. I can't help but to see it. You know, I can see the fruit of God in people, especially if they. I mean, young Christians. I mean, young folk or people when they first get born again and they really get born again. Man, they're just on fire. And I mean, it don't take them but just a week, and they're looking for devils. Where's the devil? Where's the devil? Then you got people that's been in the Lord a long time. They're like, oh, God, don't mention the devil. He's been on my back for 3 weeks. Well, go get that convert that just got saved last week. He'll whip him for you. She'll whip him for you. Why? Because they're focused on Jesus. They're focused on the word of God. They're focused on victory. They're focused on the thing that has come and give them life. They're doing like Paul. The apostle Paul, he said, I follow after that I have been apprehended in Christ Jesus. Sowers of the words in their heart will get fruit. See, we're the sowers. We choose to sow the word of God. We need to invest in our lives again, not just at church. That's how much faith you're going to have. You're going to have church faith. You're going to come to church and get all excited when you hear a good sermon. Then when you leave, you're going like, God, why me? God, why me? Well, you've got church faith. You've got the level of faith of just going into the house of the Lord and hearing a sermon and even agreeing with it, but not going out and not meditating on it, not giving it time and, you know, to produce something in our lives. Therefore, we only have joy and peace and no fear when we're in amongst a crowd of people that are in faith. It's really easy to bear fruit in here. You know, and I mean, getting goosebumps and all of that stuff. Well, I ain't never felt none. Well, you might not be saved. Paul said for us to examine ourselves to see if we are even in the faith. Paul said there'll come a time, he told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, for there'll come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. But he went on and told him, he said, preach the word. He said, do the work of an evangelist. In the same chapter right before that, he said, all scripture is written and inspired by the Holy Spirit for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for doctrine. Why? Because that is, he told Timothy, that's why he was telling Timothy, he said, you're going to have to stick to the word. You're going to have to preach the word. You're going to see all these things happen when people won't listen to you anymore. When they're giving heed to people that ain't biblically sound. He said, there's going to come a time when that's going to happen, Timothy, but you preach the word. You stay with the word. The darker this world gets, the more clear it is to me that the word works. I felt this, I hear it, you know, in Christians and stuff, and not so much now, but you wait around March, middle of March, till April 8th is gone. Christians, you'll hear them in fear of what they're going to, their taxes and all of that stuff and blah blah blah. I mean, this is not something that I'm dealing with just 1 year. I've been in the ministry 20 something years, and if I've had to do it once, I've had to do it a million times to steer, because I try to preach it all the time. Don't have our trust in the government. Don't have our trust in our jobs. Don't have our trust in our work, in money. Don't put our trust in that. Put our trust in the Lord. Why do I say that? Because He's our source. Jesus has got to be our source. So we have to maneuver people through life. People's told me before, I wouldn't bring up politics in church. Well, I don't. I'm not a politician. But I bring up my God-given duty for us to stand up for what is right, to believe what is right, because this world wants to push God out of the churches. If you stop the word of God, the flow of the word of God, you will stop faith. If you can get people fearing the government, fearing the government to preach this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, not just on the good and the prosperous things, but on the things that are an abomination to the Lord, things that the Lord hates, these things in the Bible that God hates, and we got to love all the word. See, and if I'm going to do what I'm fixing to read you, well, then I'm going to have to stick with the Bible. You're going to have to stick with it. That's why I preach it here and myself, you know, and I've preached it for years, to make quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision that me and you make individually, personally, based on the Word of God, not based on what the church believes, not based on what the brother believes, not based on what my sisters believe, not based on their theory. Well, people, you'll bring up the Word and they'll say, well, you know, I believe it means this. Well, where'd you get that? It really said it real clear. That's what I'm saying. Quality decisions not based on anything other than the Word of God. I'm saved. I made a quality decision, told the devil when he's trying to talk me out of it. You know, Teresa brought it up, Mark 4 over there, some fell by the wayside. Trampled underfoot, one translation says. One of them says, when they heard the enemy come immediately and stole the word. Well, I got born again. The first thoughts I started having was, you didn't really get saved. you didn't really get saved. And I thought, man, I was there. What was he trying to do? Satan was trying to steal the word of God out of my heart. He was trying to get me to believe that I didn't get born again. And then a little bit of time went on, I told him, I said, you might as well shut up, devil. I know that I saved. I didn't shoot myself that day. I ain't killed nobody yet. I don't even want to kill nobody now. I don't want to die now. I know I got born again. Now I've got something that I've never felt before. I've got joy. Well, I went on just a little bit, and I put that baby to rest. I don't wonder anymore if I'm born again. That ain't happened to me in a long time. Why? That word, I kept it there, and it bore fruit. It got it solid. It got me solid in knowing. Well, same way you got to do with healing. Same way you got to do, I'm going to prosper. Praise God, I'm going to prosper. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care. As long as this Bible is still here, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to believe God to prosper. I'm going to believe God to live long, satisfied life. That's what he says in Psalms. Long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I'm going to stay planted in the house of the Lord. I want to quit at times. I thought, well, we could sell the building and split it all up and everybody have a little money and be happy. And well, I wouldn't be planted then, Matt. Because you know what? Coming to church sometimes is a task to you. I don't have to wonder. Things come up. Your body's tired. You work. You feel oppressed. You don't really feel like going, you know. I mean, you know, all of these things come to get us not planted. Why? Because we've got the fruit of the word. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish. Somebody say flourish. He says that we will flourish in the courts of our God. See, and when that word gets in there, I'm going to be planted in the house of the Lord. Then when it gets in there, there ain't no snowstorm stop us. There ain't no blowed out tires. I mean, we'll run out of gas and we'll believe God and somebody will pick us up. We'll have blowouts and we'll borrow spare tires. I mean, me and Teresa borrowed Doris Nim's station wagon one time, man. We're going to church. Why? Because that word, we allowed that word and believed it. And I mean, we even run across people. You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. And we just wouldn't. The word said. We went to the word. And you know what? We've been in the house of the Lord now for nearly 30 years. The only time we wasn't in the house of the Lord is when we turned our back on God. We left our strength to follow him. We left our ability to prosper. We left our ability to believe. We left it. We just walked away from it. But thank God one day we turned back and we got back and God began to restore. See, what happened is we turned back to the word and the word started producing fruit again. Give me that Matthew 13, please, Beth. This is the parable that Matthew 4, ain't no, it's 13. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. When I got to that word understand, the Lord stopped me. And I thought, I don't know what that means. So I go and when you're reading the word or you hear a word or something and you wonder what does that mean, that's not normal. That's supernatural. You need to dig into that. You need to meditate on that. You need to ask God about that. You need to say, God, what's in there that I can't see? He said, some have eyes, but they don't see. Some have ears, but they don't hear. And so I stopped and I looked that word up in the Greek. To understand right there. It says, he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth and hear the word and understand it. Understand it means to be in agreement with it. I didn't know that, Johnny. I looked it up in the Greek. the Greek meaning of that word. It says to be in union with. And I already know that, but I didn't know that said that. Because when the Lord told me one time, love your enemies, and I shut that Bible, I was not in agreement with it. Therefore, it couldn't come and bear fruit. It couldn't. I wouldn't let it. See, men, you cannot let the word have place on healing, on prosperity, on relationships, on marriage. And people have told me, well, I mean, people just got, some people can't help to get a divorce. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to preach that at church, okay? I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going, that's not my arena. My arena over here is fight for your marriage. Let God, teach your kids to fight when they get married. Don't let them go into it with a mentality. If I meet somebody and I don't like them, I'll marry them, but I'll divorce them. Don't have that mentality. Well, everybody's doing it. Well, we don't. We don't. What, that's what I'm saying is, you know, is the word needs to be the foundation of our life, our relationship. I don't always feel good being married. Who said I had to? But I don't go by how I feel. I don't walk by how I feel. When I don't feel that way, I say, thank you, Lord, for the blessing you give me. I've been married ever how many years I've been married. If I've done it once, I've did it a million times. Then that word begins to produce what I'm lacking, that joy, that peace, that glad I'm where I'm at, that you were talking about. She was anointed to say that. She just experienced that today. I don't feel good all day long. Well, get you some preaching on. Get you praise on after that. When you wear that flesh plumb out with preaching, where it don't want to hear it no more, get the praise on and tell it, shut up. Black God, I done feel my spirit. I'm not talking to you, flesh. I'm talking to my spirit. I'm feeding my spirit, man. And then you get to church, she can have preached. I mean, she's just all excited. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, that's the fruit of the Word of God. He says, understand, to be in union with, to agree with, to put together mentally. And I thought, glory to God. That means to meditate on it, to think about it. Think about what the Word says, Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given. And I mean, I can almost hear the Spirit, not the Spirit of the Lord, a spirit saying, well, that's just for old folk. No, it's not for old folk. Give love and you'll receive love. You know, if you feel oppressed, find somebody that, I mean, the Lord will hook you up and minister to somebody that's oppressed, even though you feel oppressed. You tell them Jesus loves them. You tell them something good and you'll receive that from the Lord. I got scripture for it. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Will he also reap? Sow love. You're born again. If you're saved, you've got the power to change an arena that satanic forces are oppressing and be right there in the middle and break the back of darkness and not even know it because you are. You're set that you're going to let the word produce fruit in your life. You're not going to bite that bullet. It says to put together mentally. The Lord woke me up. I hadn't been saved a year, probably 6 months. At this time, I most time work from 5 till 5, you know, driving the truck, toting sheep, about different things. And it was 2:00 in the morning. I just, boom, I was awake. And I'm like, what's going on? And I heard the Spirit of God. He said, go. He said, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'd never read it before that I was, and never, not even conscious that I even knew what I'd ever heard it before. So I get up, you know, and I go in there, and when I opened it up, you know, it didn't mean nothing to me. You know, I mean, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. It says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. That's what it says. And I meditated on that. Probably took me about, I would say verse 3, and I'd say it, and I'd close my eyes till I could say it. And then I'd verse whatever, 2, 3 through 5. I did it that night. Well, I didn't get no understanding or anything out of that. Not at all. But as time went on, I started having revelation come to me about that. Because once I did that, that was on my mind, like that song you've been singing. God will put a song on our heart sometimes, and I mean, it'll just go off. We'll just sang it, and you know, He puts a song on our heart. That's a good thing. And as time went on, I began to realize, you know, I was getting in the Word of God, and then I would have thoughts of, Teresa's going to run around on you. And I'd say, nope, she belongs to God. See, I begin to cast those imaginations down. I used to didn't have the power to do that. I was able to cast them down and get rid of them, unknowing how it was happening. I don't feel the way I did when I used to think that, you know. My first initial thought was anger. I would get angry. And then time I would get home, I would be mad. And nobody's done nothing. But this time I'm like, what was happening was, see, I was putting the Word in. I was agreeing with the Word. It means to agree with it and bear fruit and bring forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, the reason why, he said, I told you up before that, he said, I was talking about ground, different ground that the Word, the sower sows the Word. There was different grounds in that parable. That was just a parable. There was different grounds in that parable. He said, but in each one of them will bear a certain amount of fruit. He said, that is why there's people on different levels of faith. He said, some let it bear 30. Some let it bear 60. Some let it bear 100-fold. He said, a good heart, you believe it. You receive it. You meditate on it. He said, you keep it in your heart. And when fear comes, you cast that fear down. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. That's how you get different levels of faith. That's how you get different levels of fruit. See, that's why we need to be in the house of God, hearing the Word of God, so that we go from 30 to 60 to 100. Especially, that lady told me one time, she said she wasn't in church anymore. And I'm big about, especially when the Lord leaves, where are you going to church? I don't care if you're a preacher, pastor, evangelist, grandmother, pawpaw, mama, daddy, you know. Baby in a diaper, they need to be in church. And babies in the diaper, drag them through the door, man. Lay them down the floor. Let them sleep. Get them in under the Word. Now, we would rather have them more, you know, control than that. But, hey, get them in the church, you know. I don't care who it is. I mean, I run across ministers all the time that used to, I mean, they would bid people to church. And for whatever reason, they got out. They got little bit, you know, they do a little bit here and there from the Lord. As far as church, they just it's not important anymore. Well, there's a reason for that. Satan comes to steal the Word. If the Word's ever in my heart, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. Now I get on up 55, 60 years old, and I'm like, well, some time for somebody else to take over, and then they take over, and then I just sit at home, and now I'm disobedient to the Now that Word ain't going to bear no fruit, because we read last Wednesday night that those that are planted will still bear fruit in old age. That didn't mean as much to me as 30 as it does now. I'm 56 almost, you know. I'm not old by no means. And when I do feel like I can't go, I say out of my mouth, I go in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I go in your strength, Lord. I go in your power. I go in your might. Hallelujah. Building a fence over the other day, and the guy, he works a little bit with me, and he said, I said, I'm going to run that fence down through there, and he said, how many posts is it? I said, I don't know, about 25 or 30. I said, about 25, 30. And he said, I reckon we could take the bucket on the tractor and smush them down in the ground. And I said, I don't know about all that. Well, we went on, and I thought, nah, man, I done tried that. It bends them up here. It's hard ground, Mac. You know, you got to be determined to drive post if you're going to do it up on that hill, son. Well, anyhow, it goes on. I thought, well, man, I'm not going to put no hardship on no boy. So I go out there and take my tractor, and I drill posts, and I got some that are 12 inches around that I put corner posts in, you know. And I used a tractor, you know, and all that. Well, he come up there, and he said, we're going to do that fence. I said, no, I want you to go clean up all that right there. He said, where you going? I said, I'm going to drive them fence posts. And he said, okay, all right then. I thought, he ain't going to argue with that. If you ever drove a fence post, you won't argue with that much. Well, anyhow, I drove all of them. I drove every one of them. And I'm about halfway through, and I thought, Lord, I've been on my knees in my garden and couldn't drive them in my garden for my tomatoes. In my tomato steaks, I fell on my knees more than once in my garden, pain in my back. And told the Lord, thank you, Lord. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. You will anoint me to have a garden. I will bear fruit. And I would get up. It would go away, and I'd get up and go on, you know. And I'm about halfway through, praise God. And I thought, praise God, hallelujah. I didn't drive post all day long, Lord. Yeah, I was getting tired. Anybody would. If you don't believe me, just come with me. You can be 30, and you'll get tired of driving fence posts. But see, 3.5 years ago, I couldn't do it, Mac. And bless God, today I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the power of that word is producing fruit in me. It ain't because I had open heart. I was doing it before I had open heart surgery. I just have to stop, fall to my knees, and get some strength, get up and go on. Now I know how to fall to my knees and praise him while I'm doing it. Because the word produced faith in me. And that faith produced fruit. It produced fruit in those that won't turn loose of that word. And I've had people to tell me before, man, how do you do all of that? How do you do it? And I tell them I'll lean on him. But you know the song says, lean on me. When you're not strong, somebody needs a friend or something to lean on. Yeah, y'all know it. Y'all know it. Well, Jesus is my friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the Bible says it. That's how come that give me knowledge of that. Give me knowledge of that. And that give me faith. And that bearing fruit. Somebody told me, they said, you believe in God to prosper. Well, you're going to have to pay in a lot of taxes. I said, so what? I said, what you think? I'm going to let taxes stop me from prospering? I said, there ain't no God bigger than my God. And he is able to supply all of my needs. See, in the Bible, he told, was it Peter to go fishing? Yeah. Told Peter to go fishing. And he says, and when you catch it, he said, get the money out of his mouth. He said, and go pay my taxes and yours. Jesus didn't even have to pay them. Personally. He told them, go fishing. Drug out enough to pay their taxes out of the fish's mouth. All I'm saying in that is, I'm not going to fear. You shouldn't fear. Never fear. Don't give the word when you're actually the word begins to produce fruit, it will cast out fear and replace it with faith, and an excitement will be going off on the inside of you in the middle of all of your trouble. And you'll have confidence that God is with you. God will come through for you. Hallelujah. The word does that for us. It says in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That word prove means that you'll have, you'll walk out. Beth put it up there. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. I looked the word transformed up back years and years and years ago, and it has the sense of renovating a house. You know, you go into a house and they've let it all run down. Dee's in the middle of hers right now, ain't she? Remodeling. Got a vision of it being new, whatever the case might be. But I guarantee you, Dee'll have to follow through with that. I guarantee you there's trouble when it starts, right after it starts, and there'll be trouble to the end. But God, but don't the Bible say that He works all things together for the good? Well, it's just like renovating a house. What it done when I got born again, and still doing it today, because we live in a super information world right now. I mean, you can get I Google baking soda, man, just to see if it's good for you drinking it. I mean, I've never thought about Googling baking soda. Now, Teresa likes Google. She finds out about every plant, how to prune trees. I mean, information is just crazy out there. I mean, at the touch of your finger, you can get information. But you know, all information is not good. All information is not sound. All information is not good for us. Hallelujah. But the word, He said, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. After I got born again, there was a circle of people, you know, you'd get around and you'd be like, oh yeah, you gotta renew your mind, man. Renew your mind, boy. Get that mind transformed and get that mind. And they'd be like, ah, you gotta watch them people that's telling you all of that. You know, you're liable to get brainwashed. Come on, Mac. Reading the Bible. They told me reading the Bible is gonna brainwash me. Just because they thought that I got that concept from a church or somewhere, when I didn't. I got that concept mainly from the Apostle Paul in the Bible, that was written down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit for me. And I told him, I said, well, you know, the way I was with my mind, I need to be brainwashed. I need my mind washed out, man. All I thought before I got saved was ugly and mean and cruel, and you know, I said, I need to be brainwashed. I said, if you want to call the word of God brainwashing me, then you're going to see one brainwashed Weston. I'm brainwashed. Hallelujah. I'm still doing it today. He said for us to be transformed. Transformed. The word transform, I looked it up in the Greek. It means metamorphosis. That means, you know, a worm becomes a butterfly. A worm is in a cocoon. And when it comes out, it produces a big, beautiful butterfly. That's what that word transform represents, like that, to our life. And I can attest to it. I can attest to it. I'm not perfect. I've still got flaws, and I'm still trying to let God work on me and change me and transform me, but I am not what I used to be. I don't think the way I used to be. I don't live the way I used to live. I don't say things the way I used to say them. I try to control what I say, especially about my life. I try to guard my heart. For out of Scotty's mouth flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. says, guard your heart, guard your thoughts, for out of that flows the issues of life. Come in today, and Trisha's working on something. I mean, she's different cooking and all that. She's got a goal. She's got a goal of getting the desired weight, feeling the way she wants to feel. And I really don't like it when she starts feeling like Rocky Balboa. I mean, when she gets on this trip, man, and she starts seeing progress. I mean, the girl gets aggressive, you know. Come in, and I mean, she's like, she puts on Eye of the Tiger, you know, while she's working out and stuff. And then she's wanting to sign us up for the gym, us. Nah, man. That's been years ago. I mean, it's not now. She's not doing that now. But I can just feel it coming on. Went in there this afternoon, and I said, what's that? And she said, that's cream potatoes. I thought, that's some of the worst looking cream potatoes I've ever seen in my life. She said, they're, what are they? What are cauliflower mashed potatoes. Mac, you ever eat them? Woo-hoo! Man, you have to have some faith. You eat it by faith. It's got low carbs. I'm like, well, I would really like to have some carbs. some real mashed potatoes. You know, I could deal with a little bit of little faith on them instead of gravy, you know. But you know what? Praise God. She's doing that, and I'm not going to kill vision by my lack of mashed potato cauliflower. And then we had boiled broccoli with some beef tips in it. That's it. I eat them. You will eat cauliflower potatoes. You will. It starts tasting good. I mean, because you eat one meal, 5 hours later, you got to eat again. And then you eat the same thing. You want the third meal. You start wanting it because you're getting hungry. So anyways, I told her, she said, you've been on the scales? And I said, nah. And she said, how you doing on your way? I said, I don't know. I hadn't been on her. I said, I hadn't been doing too good out there. At home, I do pretty good. You know why? She's cooking it. Went in, we told them today, and I thought, man, I got to have a biscuit. So I go in, we told them, no, we're there, Mac, and they done nearly sold out the biscuits, man. And I said, man, what do y'all got in here? I said, we got an egg and cheese and a butter and a plain biscuit. I said, are you serious right now? Man, I'm thinking tenderloin or, you know, ham or something. You know, and I thought, bless God, the Lord don't want to have that. I said, well, just give me that egg biscuit. And then I got in the truck, and there was a little brownie cake. And I thought, ooh. That'd be just as good as ham on there. That's why I told her I ain't doing too good, so I ain't been on the scales. I'm trying at home. But, you know, you need to set goals out, whether it's that or, you know, whatever, you know. And just like work, I do the work driving the post. I could make things easier on myself, but, Mac, I realize that those things are good for me. They work out my cardio. They work out my arms. They work out my muscles in my body, you know. I mean, Travis, he goes skating. He come in. I'm sore. I'm like, from what? Skating. Skating? Or to put him on a few fence posts. I guarantee you he'll be sore. I couldn't even go to work the next day, probably. But I told Travis, I said, well, what it is, I said, you're working out muscles you don't even realize you got. You're working out things you don't even realize you got, doing things out of the ordinary, out of the normal, you know. Give me that, is it John 8? Yeah, that's it. 30, that's it. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He told them, before that he told them, well, I'll go and I'll show you this in a minute. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him, we're believers, right? That had believed on him. They had got saved. That's us. That was them. He said, If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, after you're born again, don't stop. Don't sit down. Don't just go to church and hear the word. You know, three meals a day, three meals a week is not really enough to sustain us after we come out of diapers, so to speak, and come off the bottle, so to speak. It's just not enough. Well, I mean, I've been fine. Yeah, we've seen your attitude. I go to church and all. Yeah, but we've seen how quickly you get angry. Yeah, well, we've seen how upset you got when things didn't go your way. See, if you continue in the Word. See, I realize that not to cuss and not to fight anymore, not to beat people up. I can go right back to all of that. Probably get whipped now, Johnny. I mean, I'm out of shape in that. You know, if I got away from the Lord, I guarantee you my marriage wouldn't last too long. I wouldn't be in church very long. My attitude would start stinking again. It would cause me to have short fuse with the people at work. It would cause me to get bitter. I told Travis the other day, I said, when people don't do you right and don't pay you like they should, don't let it harden you to other ones that wouldn't do you like that. See, the Word, if we continue in the Word, we're continuing in love, actually, because God is love. And that Word is love coming in us, actually. It's love coming in us. And if we continue in the Word, he said, so shall you be my disciples. But the point here is, he said, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, I got free from the fear of Teresa leaving me. Therefore, it caused both of us to have a good life in that manner. She'd say amen if I let her up here. I've locked her in closet before. I've took keys. I wouldn't let her have a banking account. I mean, I come up in my driveway and I knew if somebody was in there. I had different set tires. I had Regals, and I didn't put matching tires on my car where I'd know. If anything run over, well, matching tires been there. She better not tell me no. See, that's how come I know if we continue in the Word, then we're His disciples. We will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. See, now I'm a free man. She's got my money, her banking account, my banking account. Got her own phone. I never asked her who she's talking to. I never asked her who she talked to in the daytime. I never asked her. Now, that might not be a big deal to you, but that was a major, major breakthrough for me and her as we walked with the Lord and we started coming to that place. We had to continue in the Word. And we did. Still do. Still continue in it. Fact of the matter, there's more preaching goes on in my house most of the time than they are anything else. We watch a movie occasionally. I got me a cuss box because we just ain't going to talk too much of that vulgar cussing in our room. We just ain't going to tolerate much of it. So we got a cussing box. It's a little aggravating. It's a filter. When they say a cuss word, boop, it mutes it, the TV. But you have to turn it off because it's so religious. If I say God or Jesus, it bleeps it out too. Why do we do that? Because we don't want to be desensitized to a lot of cussing. Because we realize what we let in becomes a part of. Did you know what you eat becomes a part of you? What you eat in the natural becomes a part of you. I don't like Idaho white potatoes. I like the red potatoes. So if I go down and get me a salad, I like to come back home and cook me a red potato. I don't like the taste of the Idahos. But you know, all potatoes turn to sugar in me. They turn to sugar. I mean, it's just, I don't know why it turns to sugar. How many knows that becomes a part of me when I eat that? Well, how do we eat the Word? It becomes a part of us just like that natural food. But we don't need to just get be familiar with the Word. That's why, you know, I mean, I can actually picture Luke 6:38 right now. I can see it. I mean, I can just see it. You know, but I never get familiar with that Word. When I say that Word, I mean it. I mean it to myself. I mean it when I preach it. It's not just a red-letter Word that Jesus preached in there. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But we must give honor and respect to the Word of God, or it will not come and do anything in us. It's precious. The Word is more precious than money to pay your bills. But it's just as important. Without money, you're going to sit in the dark. Without money, you're not buying groceries. Without money, you're going to live on the whatever. Well, that's the way it is, spiritual food. If we don't feed spiritually on the Word and praise and worship and fasting, the things that we do, but the Word of God, keep the Word of God first place and final authority, it will make us deplete, like not having money to take care of things. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? I used to feel like I needed to fit in with all the pastors and didn't agree with a lot of stuff. But there come a time, you know, when I felt like I don't got to fit in, Lord. Just be pleasing to you and stick with the Word of God. There's things that I will not do here. I will not partake in Santa Claus here. I will not partake in the Easter Bunny and hunting Easter eggs. I will not carve pumpkins here. One lady quit because I done told them, you know, no pumpkin carving here. We don't celebrate Halloween. This church don't celebrate. Well, I come in and there's a pumpkin back there. And it's one of the teachers doing the Sunday school, the kids' church. So I walked up to her and I said, what's that? She looked at me and I said, I'm not asking you. I know what it is. It's a pumpkin. What you going to do with that pumpkin? Well, I mean, we won't carve it. We'll just draw. I said, no, you won't draw. You will not teach these kids about jack-o'-lanterns and pumpkin carving. And there's nowhere Jesus did it. Paul and them didn't do it. I said, what it was, and she got mad and quit later, a little later on. They don't do it right off the bat, but, you know. They get offended at that. You know, I didn't mean to offend her, Mac. Man, I mean, I'm not gonna go for all of that. We celebrate that time of the year of Thanksgiving, not ghost and goblet. Thanksgiving for the harvest that God give us all year long, blessed us, and all of that. And that's where it used to be. The pilgrims came and God blessed them, and they celebrated and give thanks to God on Halloween. Which it wasn't Halloween. That come from a pagan religion. And it's not coming in this church. That's why we don't have a lot of folk on Halloween. I hope y'all make it back October. Because we know the truth. And the truth has made us free. Well, you don't have to fit in with all the other churches. I'm not trying to be separate. They should stand on the Word of God and truth in every church. I don't care if you are Baptist, Methodist, whatever denomination, whatever they are. The Bible is the foundation of the strength of God. It's the foundation for the faith of God. It's the foundation for the fruit of God. I mean, it is the foundation for the power of God. The Holy Spirit, He will not get involved with things that are not in line with the Word of God in a church, in a home, or anything. Y'all quiet, y'all okay? Do I need to take an offering up? He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? free from poverty and lack and fear and oppression, and, you know, feeling good about yourself in God, hallelujah. Free from all of that, free from being feeling intimidated, talking about the Lord Jesus. Teaching our grandbaby babies, Aubrey especially right now, to pray for them. She's going to write one little girl a note because she asked her, do you go to church? Because she says ugly words. I told you the school's going to teach them. The kids coming to school, all of them is not in church. They see stuff on TV. They hear stuff on TV. They hear mom and daddy say it. They see stuff. They know, and they know. But see, Aubrey knows already. Papa, Grandma, I asked her, do you know God? And she said, well, what did she say? She said, well, she said she does, but I don't think. So she decided to write her a letter, Mac, a note, and say, you can come to my church. She asked her if she went to church. She said, no, little girl did. She said, you can come to my church, and we even got toys over there. Oh, boy, I mean, already Whitney. You know, yeah, making that look. She said, well, I like toys. She's bidding her. And a lot of us ain't going to invite nobody. Ain't no need to go to church anymore. Ain't nothing happening. That's not the way them babies see it. It's happening. It's happening to them. And the Bible says for us to be like him, don't it? He says, come to him like a little child. Well, that's the way they are. And I thought, glory to God, the very one that wouldn't have nothing to do with Jesus. She wouldn't let me, she didn't want me praying for her. She didn't want me bringing up Jesus. Almost broke my heart because I'm thinking, you're a result of me. You can't be like that in this family. But you know what? Times went on, that word, bringing them to church. Bringing them. At times she thought, Papa, I don't want to go to church. It don't matter. It don't matter. Neither do we. We're going. We're going. Asked her last night. See, life's real. Did you know life's really real? Things are happening. So I asked her last night, I asked her last year, Mac. I said, okay, baby. I said, I got a question to ask last year. And I said, Pawpaw's going to build a little thing, and I'm going to plant some extra produce and tomatoes and stuff. And Pawpaw pulled it out by the road and put a little box with a lock on there, and people will pay for it. And, you know, but you're going to have to work. You're going to have to hoe the weeds out. You know, you're going to have to take some of the money and give it to Pawpaw, half of it. And give Jesus his. Oh, Papa, I won't give Jesus none. Well, she don't know Jesus yet, like I do. So she can't imagine giving Jesus. He's not getting none of my money. And that's okay. That's just where she's at. And so I told her. She said, nah, I don't want to do it. I said, okay, forget it then. So I asked her the other day. I said, all right. I said, it's almost garden time again, baby. I said, Papa's just going to ask you. I'm just wondering. I said, do you want me to plant some produce? You're going to have to work. And I asked Aiden, he said, can I do it? I said, yeah, you can. I said, you're going to have to work now. I said, it's hot out there. Yeah, I know. Well, they know out there in the garden with me it's hot, you know. And so she says, okay, fine, Papa, I'll just do it. Just do it. Well, I planted seeds, but I'm giving her a choice. God gives us a choice. We can take the word of God and we can prosper. We can prosper in this natural realm. But we got to work with the Lord. We got to work with the word of God. Before, if she don't work with me, she will never make no money produce. Not going to happen. Until she gets ready to work with the words Papa's saying, well, then there ain't nothing going to happen. So you're free. You're free. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from the enemy. Free from sin and death. Free from getting your life messed up because you make wrong choices at a young age. Free from it. Somebody told me the other day, well, the devil's just after. I said, yeah, but don't the Bible say for everybody that we're not ignorant of his devices? I said, let him rave. I said, if we teach our kids and our grandkids and teach it in church and don't treat them like they don't know what's going on and like they did, like the word's not for you yet, you're not an accountable age. Accountable age is when they hear. Aubrey can know a lot about Jesus by 9. You ain't got to wait until she gets 14 till they know good and evil. They know good and evil. Last night, Aiden's 5. Just turned 5 years old. Last night, he got through eating supper and all that, and they got their snacks and popcorns and all that. And he waits till Teresa goes to give Aubrey a shower, a bath. And he says, hey, Papa, can I get some flavored water and peanuts? And I said, I don't think so. I think Grandma said nothing else tonight like that, you know. I said, well, just go to Grandma. Papa, it'll be okay. I think it'll be okay, Papa. See? Don't tell me he knows that's right. He knows he wants some flavored water. And he knows. That's right, knowing right from wrong, right? He's 5. And so he got all excited about these gifts that Jesus gives. And I told him, I said, the greatest gift is God sent Jesus, and if we let him, he'll come into our heart. And he said, will it hurt, Papa? He's imagining Jesus coming in his heart somehow, inside him. He said, will it hurt, Papa? I said, no, it won't hurt. But you know what I'm doing? I'm planting the seed of the Word of God, and it will bring a harvest. If he's not born again, received him right now, I don't know, but he will. He will. That word will bear fruit. Give me that verse 37. I'm going to try to close with this. I think it's verse 37. If the Son, therefore, no. Let me see. There's another one I wanted. I didn't write it down, did I? Yeah, John 8:37, is it? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. This is just a couple of verses on down. He says, they said, we're Abraham's seed. And he went on to tell them, he said, if you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. But he said, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. The Lord spoke to me when I got to that. He said, there's millions of my people that will not give my word place. He said, they fear the financial realm. They fear dying with cancer. They fear their marriage falling apart. He said, they will not give my word place. He said, therefore, they fight against me. Shock me. I mean, he's trying to save marriage. Well, I ain't no need in my marriage. It's gone down quick. Well, ain't no need. You just don't know how my wife is. You just don't know how my husband is. Giving no place to the Word. Giving no place to Jesus. Giving no place to faith. And then the enemy painting pictures. I just want out of this. I just want out. I know I went through where I'd made bad choices and owed people a lot of money and didn't have it and had to come to the place to where I submitted to the Lord and I admitted my guilt and I gave it to the Lord and then I began to believe God and stand on the Word of God. And you know what? He made me free from it. I paid it all. I came out on top. See, no word, no faith, no fruit. Little word, little faith, little fruit. The measure of word that me and you put in and meditate on and embrace and get in agreement with and apply and make up our mind we're going to be in agreement with this. I mean, be in agreement with you're going to prosper. Be in agreement with you're going to walk in health, in divine. Be in agreement that your marriage is going to be strong. Be in agreement that God will hook you up in school, young kids, with Christian folk. Believe for good relationships. Shun bad ones. Face bad people in your life that is a bad influence that causes you to feel negative and don't feel good about your future. Get away from them. Don't judge them. Just stay away from them and meditate on that word and surround yourself with people that's on the same path. And you know, you can come to the place, I don't have to have, I don't got no friends. What I would say, you know, friends go hang out, you know, all the time. Just come on over and let's waste some time. I have acquaintances like Mac. You'd hang out if I called you up. Let's go eat breakfast, man, you know. I mean, we can do that. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't feel that I need all that. I don't have to have that all the time. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're never alone. I'm never alone. You're never alone. So I just want to encourage you, praise God, the more truth that we know, the more that we'll be made free just because the Word says it. You know, there are things in the Bible that as we walk with God and we're students of the Word of God, there's times we'll read things and then years go down the road and there's more in that scripture and we read it again and boom, there it is. Something else in our life, praise God. So I want to encourage you, hang on to what you do have. The Word, hang on to it, guard it, praise God, meditate more on it, think more on it, speak it. Instead of speaking the way things are, you know. I was telling one of my brothers, you know, we've been praying for my sister and all of that, and I was telling him last night, got a bad report that couldn't confirm the report or nothing, but anyways, got kind of bad report, but I told him, I said, it don't make no difference what the report is. I said, that's good, get the reports. I said, because the Bible says, whose report will we believe? By Jesus' stripes, she's healed. I'm in agreement with her. Jesus is in agreement with it. The Holy Spirit is in agreement. I said, in these things coming that you can't confirm could be from the adversary that is trying to get you to turn loose of faith and hope. I don't have no marital trouble now. But God, we agree to disagree. Sometimes we keep our mouths shut. But if I am going through some troubled waters, I don't go hook up with them that's going through troubled waters. I go find me somebody that's got some victory. And I say, what do you think ought to do? Because they're on the outside in victory, looking at a stance of victory. And they'll say, just pick your sword up. That's all you need to do. Just get it up. Get that shield of faith up, you know. Get the Word of God out. That's all you need to do. It's not very complicated. Don't fight against your wife or don't fight against your husband. They'll give you that kind of counsel. The Bible says a wise man will seek good counsel. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, I just thank you for the power of the Word of God.